first. This is KUAR. Let's go now to Governor Asa Hutchinson with today's daily COVID-19 update.
Issued by the Department of Finance, which showed that our August net available revenue was $41 million above forecast. And the year-to-date net available revenue after 2 months in the fiscal year is $93.7 million above forecast. This simply means that as you look across the board from the individual income tax collections to the sales tax collections, people are having confidence in going back to work. People are having confidence in doing consumer purchasing. And so even though we thought July and August might be some tough months, these are very encouraging numbers for us. And I wanted to report that good news to everybody today. And while that is good news, we will continue to keep a tight rein on the budget because these are uncertain times. And we certainly want to have a good cushion as we go into the latter part of the fall and the first part of next year. Secondly, I wanted to comment today on the Center for Disease Control in issuing a moratorium on evictions based upon the non-payment of rent for COVID reasons. And this is a very broad-based order trying to decrease homelessness being homed in congregate settings in which COVID-19 has a greater opportunity to spread. And so this order will be official on September 4, 2020, when it's published in the Federal Register. And it requires tenants who want to take advantage of this moratorium to file, present an affidavit saying that for COVID reasons, their income is not sufficient to pay rent. And it also makes it clear under this that this does not relieve the tenants from their duty to pay rent or prevent landlords from issuing late fees. And so that's important to note. And I encourage tenants out there, if you have challenges because of lost income on making rent payments, that you go to the Department of Human Services that you go to your local community action agency or your nonprofit groups in your community because they have some funds for rental assistance. In fact, $4.8 million has been issued by the Department of Human Services to nonprofits and community action agencies to provide rental assistance. And then ADFA, our Department of Finance Authority, on the federal level, has issued $675,000 for rental assistance to public housing agencies. And so rather than get behind in your rent, which is still owed, that just puts problems more for you down the road, utilize these community action agencies, these nonprofits, the assistance that is out there to help you get over a tough time if you're having a lost income because of COVID reasons. So I just wanted to make note of that and draw attention to that. I'm sure there'll be more comment on that as we go into the future. I'm pleased to be joined today by Dr. Jose Romero, Secretary of Health, Secretary Johnny Key of the Department of Education, and we have some of their luminaries with them as well from their respective departments for any questions that they might be able to assist with. Let me go to the case report. Yesterday, in the last 24 hours, we had an additional 615 COVID-19 cases in Arkansas. That brings us to 62,112. We have 12 additional hospitalizations. That brings us to 435, with 27 additional deaths. That brings us to 841. And Dr. Romero will make a comment as to how some of those are late reporting that gives us that number for today. In terms of testing, we tested 4,773, that is up some, but we would still like to get that higher. Our active cases are down, which is good, and we'll present that in the graph here in just a moment. I know I've been asked about antigen testing, so I wanted to say that yesterday, on September 1, we did 590 antigen test, in which 156 of those are positive. That leaves us with a 26.4% positivity rate for those antigen tests. And with that, let's go to the graph here, which again shows that we're up with the 600 cases. Most of those are in the community and not correctional. And then the seven-day rolling average, it shows that we're up and down, but it's not at that high level that we had whenever we were rocking along with close to 800 cases a day. But we need to do better than the 600. The number of currently hospitalized, as you can see, is up a little bit. And then the currently active cases in Arkansas, that's down. And so we continue a good trend there. And then the seven-day rolling average of percent positive COVID tests in Arkansas. And of course, this goes back to just June 1. And here's the 10% positivity rate. And that is the CDC standard. We got up over that in the 7-day rolling average. And then we've gone down and where we're now under right around the 8%. So that 7-day rolling average is good. It's improvement, but if we have a high percent of positivity, obviously it'll go up. And then the next slide is the same information, but I just wanted to point out that, you know, the most reliable ones would be in the last 3 or 4 days, which shows that about an 8% level of positivity, and the others will be backfilled as those test results come in, so they will go up. But that is the same information in a different way as what we saw before. This shows you the testing numbers that we had. And these are PCR tests that are included here. And again, we've had well over 4,000. But you can see the commercial lab did not produce at the level we want it to. And I don't know why that goes up and down so much. But we hope that that will be stronger as the month goes on. And this is just to give you a flavor of, this is the 14-day, not 7 days, but 14-day moving average of percent positivity by county. And so this goes back to August 18th to September 1. This will be on the Department of Health website, but it lets you know a little bit more of your community. And some of the rural counties that you can see have a little bit higher positivity rate. Little River County, looks like 26% there. Hempstead County, 11.2%. These are smaller numbers, and so it can fluctuate a little bit more. Benton County is at 6.5%, Washington County 6.2%, Crawford 7.3%, Pulaski 6.7%. Those are all better numbers, but you know, we've got to keep an eye on those, and it gives you an idea. You go up to northeast Arkansas to Craighead County. You've got a 10.4%, work to be done there. Down in South Arkansas, El Dorado, 13.2%. So these are ones that we want to watch and do better in. And I think that concludes those. Let me come back to the antigen tests that I mentioned. I gave you the information as to how many antigen tests that we did over the last 24 hours, the percent positive, and how many positive results we had from that. For the future, I wanted to make the announcement that the antigen test and the positives resulting from those antigen tests will be regularly reported both publicly and to the CDC. This is not something that every state is doing, but I think they will gradually do that as we increase our use of antigen tests. And, you know, and Dr. Dillahay, I think, is going to come up here and explain this a little bit more depth. But we have an antigen positive is a probable case because it has not been confirmed by a PCR test yet. But it's 95% or so accurate, but it's still considered by CDC a probable case. And then the PCR is the confirmed case. And so when this information is reported to CDC, it will be by the antigen test, which is a probable case, and then the PCR test, which will be the confirmed case. And so you'll continue to see that information presented publicly, but it will be distinguished as we present it. But for example, the schools, when you see the positive test in a school on our website, that will include both antigen test and PCR test, and that should be noted, but that's just a good way to get the information out. And with that, let me recognize Dr. Romero, and he, if he wishes, can ask Dr. Dillahay to make a comment on that if he wants to elaborate on it. And then Secretary Key will also have an announcement to make shortly.
This is Health Secretary Dr. Jose Romero. We're listening to today's live press briefing from the Capitol.
Thank you, Governor. So adding a little bit more to our information about the deaths, as mentioned by the Governor, we added 27 deaths to the total number of 841. 13 of these deaths were delayed reporting. And we would consider delayed reporting more than 3 weeks ago. So we have one from May, four each from June and July, and then four returning from early August. So 13 in the recent weeks. Five of these cases were from nursing homes, but they were not clustered, and we had no correctional cases of death. Counties reporting more than 20 cases in the last 24 hours. These are now number one, Washington County at 67, Pulaski County at 62, Benton 60, Craighead 49, Garland County 26, Saline 21, and finally Mississippi County at 20. I'd like to say a few words before I turn the podium over to Dr. Dillahay for more details on the reporting. I'd like to address some comments specifically to our university and college students. We are seeing more cases in on campuses across the state. I want to remind you that you can control this growing number. You can control it through the measures that we've discussed many, many times from this podium. That is the use of masks, the social distancing that has been advised, and hand sanitation, avoiding large crowds and large parties. I realize that part of college life is the socialization that goes on. But in today's environment, it is important that you keep in mind the social responsibility that you bear to the entire society. And without your help, we can't bring this a pandemic under control. So I ask you to please keep this in mind, to celebrate and congregate responsibly, and keep your fellow citizens in mind as you do so. So I will turn this over to Dr. Dillahay to explain a little bit more about the new CDC reporting recommendations.
This is Dr. Jennifer Dillahay, Medical Director of Immunizations at the Department of Health.
Thank you, Governor. Thank you, Dr. Romero. So I'd like to say a few words about how the Arkansas Department of Health reports cases. We follow the case definitions as defined by the Council of State and Territorial Epidemiologists. All states follow this so that we're all reporting in the same consistent way and we can compare cases from state to state. This definition has been concurred by the CDC, and so it's the one that we will use. So the definition of a confirmed case is that someone has had a positive PCR test. The definition of a probable case is that someone has had a positive antigen test, or they may have symptoms and the epidemiological link to a known case without any testing, or COVID-19 can be mentioned on the death certificate without testing. Those three situations will result in a probable case. Now, it's easy for people to think, since we use the word probable, that maybe it's case, maybe it isn't. But that's not how we think of it. It is a real case in the same way that a PCR is a real case, and the Arkansas Department of Health does case investigation and contact tracing for all probable cases. So I want to assure you that we want to be transparent. The case definition for probable cases was recently changed, which enables us now to easily report them. We've put a system into place to track those data, and we'll be putting them on our website so that people can see the probable cases in addition to the confirmed cases, and we will be reporting both categories to the CDC. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Delahaye, and I'm pleased to announce today that the Department of Education has opted in for a Department of Agriculture waiver so that school students can all be served meals free of cost through the end of the year under that program. And so, Secretary Key, if you can come and explain that in a little bit more detail.
This is Education Secretary Johnny Key, and you're listening to KUAR.
Thank you, Governor. The U.S. Department of Agriculture announced earlier this week that it is extending several waivers through December 31st of this year. These waivers create flexibilities that allow our school districts to serve meals to all students at no cost. They permit meals to be served outside of the normally required group settings and meal times. They are also waiving the meal pattern requirements as necessary and allowing parents and guardians to pick up meals for their children. And those are important for both the on-site students as well as those students who have opted for virtual instruction. These flexibilities ensure meal options for all children that under all circumstances and balance program integrity along with meal accessibility. We have opted into those waivers and will work with districts who also wish to opt in and operate under these flexibilities. Opting in will allow districts to claim all students at the free meal rate for meals that qualify for federal reimbursement. Many of our families who might not qualify for free meals are still going through a tough time and can be worried about how to keep food on the table. Now their children will have one less thing to worry about as they adjust to the evolving in-school and remote learning scenarios. These waivers also eliminate a massive administrative burden on our school nutrition staff, allowing them to focus primarily on serving meals to their students. Now, it is imperative that parents still work with their districts to complete and submit the meal applications to their local schools, because these meal applications we need to capture this financial status of families because of other state and federal funding streams that are tied to the free and reduced meal percentages. Additional guidance will be provided by the Child Nutrition Unit to our school districts for the procedures for adopting and implementing these waivers. Just a little bit of data that helps provide some context. In the spring, when we closed schools for on-site instruction, between the months of March and May, 89% of our school districts in Arkansas opted for what we call the seamless summer option. That helps provide meals to all students, whether they are on-site or remote. And in those cases in the spring, we had grab-and-go meal options, and we also had districts that were delivering meals to their students. We anticipate this cost to be about $80 million for Arkansas for the reimbursements through the month of December. So this is a great option. We appreciate Secretary Perdue and his team at the U.S. Department of Agriculture for making this available. Thank you, Governor.
Thank you, Johnny. With that, we'll take any questions.
With the antigen testing, do you have any information about where those are coming from, or how those are the people getting tested for that are different than people who get PCR tests?
Well, of course, there's a number of sites around the state that you can get an antigen test. Many of those are in medical clinics. But I know that through conversations that many of these antigen tests are coming from Washington County. Those around the University of Arkansas are both getting PCR tests, but some of them are getting the antigen test in significant numbers. So I know that's a significant portion of those anyway. Did I answer your question?
Yeah. Do you know how many antigen tests cumulatively we have that have been positive?
Cumulative, I'll ask if anybody...
Yes, thank you. Cumulatively, since we started receiving antigen test results, 2,050 have been positive.
How many total tests?
How many total tests, you said? Total tests are 13,098.
Can you do the positivity rate on
that? Yes, sir. So the overall cumulative positivity rate for the antigen testing is 15.7% then.
Any idea why it's higher for antigen tests than it is for PCR?
Now we've got Dr. Jennifer Dillahay coming back to the podium.
So the antigen tests are what we call point of care tests. So you go to the clinic or the local health unit or the pharmacy that's doing them, and you can get your results right then. It takes 15 to 30 minutes to get the result. But these tests are designed to test people who are symptomatic. So it would be expected if a person is symptomatic that they would be more likely to actually have COVID than a PCR test, which can test people who are not symptomatic. So we would expect the positivity rate for the antigen test to be higher because they're designed to test people who already have symptoms and therefore more likely to actually have COVID-19.
Is there any overlap between the antigen probable cases and the confirmed cases, like are any of those the same people?
Yes. So in the beginning, when the antigen tests first came out, many people had confirmatory PCR tests done. And if those PCR tests were positive, then they would have been classified as a confirmed case. Nowadays, we have enough experience with the antigen tests to know that the positive result is reliable, so a confirmatory test for a positive result is not necessary. However, we know that if a person has symptoms and their antigen test is negative, then it could be a false negative. So a confirmatory PCR test for a negative antigen test is needed, and they would need to have a PCR test to confirm that it's negative or not.
Some duplication of those two sets of numbers in terms of
yes. So there's you can't say that we had a certain number of positive tests and that means automatically a certain number of cases. There's not exactly a one for one.
Are there any questions remotely?
Yeah, Governor, this is Andrew with AP. I had two questions. Given Dr. Romero's comments about a concern on college campus cases and what you all are seeing, do you still think the campuses are handling things the right way, or do you think there needs to be a look at scaling back activities or moving to online for any of the campuses? And the second question I had was, given the state's revenue report today and how things are looking so far, with talks potentially restarting on coronavirus relief, what exactly do you think the state needs, or what are you seeking at this point if the state's finances are doing okay at this point?
Thank you, Andrew. And in terms of the first part of the question, at our universities and higher education, I think the higher education institutions in Arkansas are doing a very good job. First of all, they developed a good plan. We invested in it. They have a testing plan, a contact tracing plan. They have PPE available, and they've taken the measures that they need to. Now, whenever you get tens of thousands of students on a campus, that, you know, puts a human element into any plan. And so it's about execution, not necessarily of the faculty and staff and administration, but it's how the students execute the plan as well. And for example, the University of Arkansas has, I believe, 24,000 students on campus. or associated going to school on that campus, 75% of those live off campus. And so while everything might be going perfectly on the campus, all the protocols, and I believe they are, what happens with the students whenever they go off campus or go to their place of abode or go out for dinner. And so that's why Dr. Romero is really urging and calling upon the students really to understand what's at risk here and to take extra precautions both this week, but even as we go into the holiday. But I think they absolutely have a good plan. And whenever you, the response, I mean, we've had some cases both at UAPB, we've had some positives there at the University of Arkansas at Fayetteville, and we're immediately doing increased mass testing. We're gonna have over the next couple of days a large number of tests that will be coming in, well over 1,000 from students across the state. So that enables us to hopefully get ahead of the curve and to be able to stall any upstart in a virus on campus. The second part of your question on the next round of CARES Act funding and Congress reaching agreement, first of all, they need to reach an agreement. There's things that they agree upon. This needs to be done from a state perspective. The first thing that we need is greater flexibility in spending the existing CARES Act money that we have as a state and to extend the deadline for spending that money. That will allow us to invest more in high-speed broadband in our rural communities. It will allow us to make sure we have enough money set aside for vaccine distribution, but we need that flexibility and that delay in terms of this extending the time period for spending that money. Secondly, we'd like to have an extension of the increased FMAP, that is their matching rate for Medicaid that is at a higher rate right now because of COVID-19, and they have some restrictions on us that we cannot roll people off of the rolls, and so the Medicaid rolls get a little bit larger. We need a little bit more flexibility, but we need an extension of that federal higher level of federal matching on our Medicaid funds. Those are just two priorities. I'm sure there's others, but that's, to me, the two easiest things and most important things that they can do at the present time. The third thing I will mention is that I do believe that they need to look at additional funding for education, that there's higher level of expenses with doing virtual as well as doing, classroom instruction, and that's going to be some cost down the road that I would hope that there would be some additional funding on. Is there a next
question? We're listening live to Governor Asa Hutchinson. This is 89.1 KUAR, Little Rock.
For you. So according to the White House Coronavirus Task Force obtained by ABC News, a new report today shows that Arkansas is in a red zone area and ranks 11th in the country for the highest number of new COVID cases, and the CDC is recommending that Arkansas close down bars. Would you consider this? We'd also like your reaction regarding the removal of the Bentonville Confederate statue that was removed today on the Bentonville Square as well.
All right, on the first part of the question in reference to the White House weekly report that they give on the states, it's simply a reminder whenever they put some of our counties in the red zone. Some of them, in some categories, we have moved to yellow in terms of a lower positivity rate. That's a good step. But the report reminds us all that it's a serious virus out there, that we've got a lot of work to do. We're not relaxed about it. We're not believing we're over the hill yet on this virus. In terms of the recommendations, there's numerous recommendations in there, and they recommend that we further restrict restaurants to reduce their occupancy rate, to put more restrictions on other types of business, and including closing bars. These are investments by people that they have employees, and we watch it very carefully. And if it makes sense down the road to put in more restrictions, we will look at those. But it's not something that we want to do. And at this time, we're not seeing any connection to an increase in cases from those economic activities. That's what we're tying our decision making to. Any other questions?
Based on what we've seen in other states, is at the U of A, is the problem the fraternities and the sororities? Is it people living off campus in apartments?
Well, I think we're still digging into where the challenge is. But certainly, where you look nationally, the social atmosphere that's present in fraternities and sororities indicate they have to take extra serious precautions in order to avoid the spread of the virus in that setting. And obviously, social activities is a big part of life on a college campuses. And so this is a curve for those students, but it's a better curve than the curve of not having an academic year or not having in-classroom instruction and the normal activities associated with it. So, Dr. Romero, I know, did you have anything you wanted to add to that?
No, I think you're exactly right.
Okay. So I think in the next couple of days, we will have more information. And I would expect the universities, whatever university might be impacted by this, to share additional information from their standpoint as well.
Is a possibility the state could close some fraternities?
Listen, when you're dealing with a pandemic, anything's a possibility. But those items are really left to the individual institutions. They will give the direction as needed to their dorms, to their Greek houses, any other activity on campus. That's their responsibility. I would expect them to consult with our Department of Health, and they're working closely with us in terms of our increased testing and our contact tracing. So there'll be some joint decisions if that is necessary. Obviously, we don't want that to happen, but we're continuing to look at any increase in cases. With that, thank you very much today.
This is 89.1 KUAR. We've been listening live to Governor Asa Hutchinson on today's COVID-19 update. 27 deaths reported today. I believe this is a one-day record. That would bring a total to 841 people in Arkansas who have died from COVID-19. There were also 615 additional confirmed cases of the coronavirus, with the total in the state now over 62,000. I'm Michael Heplin. This is KUAR.